We have been embarking on a sermonic sermon on the Holy Spirit and how he intersects with the church. And last week we looked at the promise of power. Today we're going to look at the demonstration of power. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Acts. The second chapter. We begin our reading at verse number 1. And it reads, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all of the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Let us pray. Dear eternal God, our Father, we come to you today, God. We thank you and we praise you, God, for your word, God. We thank you, Father, for what your word does, Father, in our lives, God. We thank you, God, because we realize that your word is for our learning. And our learning is for our living, God. So we pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that as we learn, as we receive your word, God, that it will dictate how we live our lives, God. That, God, we will be doers of your word and not just hearers, God. We bless your name today for all that you do. It is in the mighty and the matchless name of our Lord and Jesus, Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen and amen. From this text, I would like to pin for a title, a Spirit-filled church. A Spirit-filled church. Let me preface it by saying this. Is that when I speak of the church, I'm speaking of what's known as the universal church. Not speaking in regards with any particular name on the front of the church building. I'm not speaking in regards to any particular denomination. I'm speaking to the universal church, the Christendom. We have all been commissioned by God's word to go and to make disciples. This is a part of the process of Jesus building his church. And everyone in here has a part to play in that, whether you know it or not. If you have been born by the Spirit of Christ, if you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, then you have the Spirit of Christ living inside of you. Because you have the Spirit of Christ living inside of you, you have a responsibility in accordance to the Word of God to be a witness to all you come in encounter with. You witness not just by what you say, but we witness by how we live. Let me say that again. We don't just witness by what we say. We witness by how we live. It's vitally important. God has prepared each and every one of us. Listen here. Just like he's prepared this church on the day of Pentecost, God is preparing them and equipping them when he made the promise that not many days hence you will receive the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus came back and tells them again, he said that when he comes upon you, you shall receive power. Well, that power showed up 10 days after Jesus made this declaration. But notice that in at the end of chapter number 1, you see that they were all in the upper room and that they were all on one accord. The Bible said they were on one accord and they were praying. And that's a good place for us to be, right? For the church, the Christendom, the universal church, to be on one accord. But we have thousands of different denominations. And although we agree on many of the vital salvation doctrines, there are still some things that we allow to separate us. If we were all being led and guided by the Holy Spirit, how much more powerful could we be? But I come to find that we see that church denominations are constantly fighting between one another. And this is vastly different than this church that was birthed on the day of Pentecost. They're sitting in the upper room. They've already replaced Judas Iscariot. What do we know about it? We know that there's the 11 that's there. But then there's one that's added, Matthias. They added him to replace Judas. We know that the women were there, which included Jesus' mother, Mary Magdalene, and the rest of the women. Let me tell you something. The women gonna always be there. When it comes to worshiping God, the women gonna always be there. But we also know that his family was there. And this is key, because his family did not believe in him until he rose from the dead. Isn't that something? All the miracles that Jesus performed in his life, his family, his brothers still did not believe in him until they seen and witnessed him rise from the dead. Yes, his brother James, who became one of the pillars of the church, was there. And there was about 120 people in this upper room. Now listen here, they are still powerless because they're still hiding. They're still powerless because they have not received the promise of the Holy Ghost. Understand that the Holy Spirit makes the difference in the life of the believer. And how you respond to him makes the difference in your life. Look in verse number one, it says, and suddenly, it says that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all, listen here, again, with one accord in one place. Now understand, the day of Pentecost has been regarded in the simplest form as the birthday of the church. It's when the church was actually birthed into existence. But Pentecost goes all the way back to Moses. As a matter of fact, Moses is the one that implemented the Feast of Pentecost, which is really an agricultural feast. It is to show their gratefulness to the crops that would come in. But it also was to celebrate the giving of the law as well. But here it says that when it was fully come, there's a difference because this is it for the day of Pentecost. It had come and it had gone. It had come and it had gone in the Old Testament. But now it has fully come. And God shows up. They're on one accord. They're still praying. And in verse number two, it said, and suddenly. Now the word in Greek means suddenly, that almost unexpectedly. He just shows up. And the Bible said that they hear, this is key, that they hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind. They didn't feel anything. There was no chairs blown over. There were no tables overturned. There was no windows blown out. It was not by what they felt, but this is a new introduction of their faith in what God had promised them. So the Holy Spirit is not about how you feel. It is not about a sensation that you feel, but it's about the fact that God promised that he would give the Holy Spirit to us. It is our down payment on our salvation. He is our down payment. That's what he came to do. But not only is he our down payment, it's our power. It's the power to live right. So all those folk that are waiting to catch the Holy Ghost, keep waiting. Because it's not about a feeling. It's not about you shouting. I didn't see anywhere in here where anybody was slain in the spirit. As a matter of fact, it's the exact opposite. You see, because the law brings about death, but the spirit brings life. So anytime that the Holy Spirit shows up, he comes to bring life and interject life into us. In Ephesians said that we were all dead in our trespasses and sin. Every last one of us was dead and on our way to hell. I don't know about you. I know I was on my way to hell. I know I was dead in my trespasses and sin. But the Spirit of God quickened me. It was the Spirit of God that regenerated my life. Because I responded and I said, yes, Lord, to his death, burial, and resurrection. Now the Spirit of Christ has come in and he has sealed me. No, look at this. This is really interesting. This is really interesting because this is really what depicts what's known as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But not only is it the baptism of the Holy Spirit, simultaneously at the same time, you also have the filling of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Spirit. They're different. They're different. The baptism of the Holy Spirit happens at the moment of salvation. When you give your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and he takes you and he places you in the family of God. Where is the infilling of the Holy Spirit or the filling of the Holy Spirit? Happens multiple times. It needs to happen every day. And the reason why it needs to happen every day, because there's a new assignment for your life. There's a new obstacle that you can't get over on your own. There's a new problem that you can't resolve. You need the aid of the Holy Spirit to come in and give you what you need to be able to deal with the issues and the problems that are going on in your life today. You keep struggling, you keep fighting, you keep fighting the wrong folk because you will not allow that power, the power that the Holy Spirit offers you. It's there. You see, some of us are like a light bulb that is in the socket. The wiring and everything is great. The power is there. But for whatever reason, it's not getting everything that it needs to shine as bright as it needs to shine. And that's how the working of the Holy Spirit is, that he's present. But it's because of you, because of me, because our unwillingness to surrender to him, that we don't shine as brightly as we need to shine. Don't you understand that we live in a very dark world? Don't you understand that there are folk that are living just wicked, evil lives? And we're content with letting them die and go on to hell and never shine the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ in their lives. I was at gas station last night. And forgive me, Lord, but I was eavesdropping on a conversation that someone was having on the other side of the pump. It's a young lady. I don't know if she might be here today because I invited her to church. But she's having a conversation. And I could hear it in her voice that she was having some difficulties. My heart was vexed. And I felt the Spirit of God saying, listen, when she finishes her conversation, you need to go over there and have a discussion with her. And so it's amazing because when I left the house to come and get in the car, my gas cap was still out. So I just blew all of that. You know, I stepped across the aisle. I said, listen now. I said, You mind if I give you my card? I had my card out. And I said, you mind if I give you my card? And she said, yeah, what is it for? I said, well, it's for church. I said, listen, I want you to come if you can. I said, I have a word of wisdom for you. I got a word that will help you. I got a word that will bless you. And what you need to know is that even though you don't know me, Jesus loves you and so do I. This is the power. This is the boldness that the Holy Spirit gives you to be able to do things like this, because we're all here to affect and change people's lives through our testimony. That's what it really boils down to. I told you, we're sitting in these churches and we're rotting. And some of us are waiting for some little cute program to come out so we can get involved in, or some little cute ministry. No, the ministry is every day. The ministry is wherever you go, that you can be an example, that you can be a light to somebody. One more thing and I'm going to move on. Hallelujah Night is on Thursday. And I'm working on a presentation that I'm going to present on the making of a Jesus lantern. I know some of y'all had a problem with the jack-o'-lantern, but there's a Jesus lantern. There's a spiritual implication here. Because in the making of a jack-o'-lantern, you cut the top off, which represents the open up their knowledge to something. And then God begins, once he's opened up their knowledge to something, then he begins to dig down deep and scoop out that which is unusable and clean it out. There's a spiritual implication here. And once he's cleared it out, you cut the eyes out that they might be able to see. They'd be able to speak the word of God. But the best part of it is the last part. Is he put his light in us? It's the light that shines bright. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. That's that light. So we have that responsibility. Here in the text, Christ is preparing his church. He's preparing them for this work. And he's giving them this power. Look at what he does. Not only is there a mighty rushing wind, but there are cloven tongues as fire. They're not actually there, but they see them. It's not by what we feel, and it's not necessarily by what we see, but it's by faith that we receive this. It's by faith that you receive the power of the Holy Ghost. It's by faith that you receive the power that God gives us. And it takes us surrendering unto God. But some of us have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but you have refused to be filled with the Spirit. And that is possible. For you to be baptized, you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesus, it said, don't be drunk with wine in excess, but be filled, what? With the Spirit of God. And there's some of us that are out there that have been indwelled but inactive. You have been saved but stagnant. You've been positioned but powerless. You've been sealed but silent. You've been converted but complacent. You've been redeemed but reluctant. God wants to use you. He wants to get every bit of goodness that he's placed in you out of you, that you might be able to be a blessing to other people. Listen here, the Spirit-filled church can never be Spirit-filled if it don't have Spirit-filled folk. This church will only be as Spirit-filled as you are. Why? Because you are the church. And if you still will not surrender to the Holy Spirit and his direction for your life, if you will not allow him to control and to dictate your life, Listen, I'm not talking about here in this building. I'm talking about outside of this building. Listen. The Holy Spirit should be directing every decision you make. Don't you make a decision without consulting the Holy Spirit, because he is not apathetic about any decision that you make. So here it is. He's preparing them. But it's interesting here, because in verse number 3, it talks about these cloven tongues of fire, and it sat upon them. In other words, each one of them had this cloven tongue upon them. What it represents, this cloven tongue actually represents purification. Let me back up a little bit first. Because the wind represents that life. The life that God breathed into Adam. It is the same word that he uses right here. It's just in the Greek form. It breathes life into us. And then the Holy Spirit also purifies our life. Well, how does it do that? Sometimes the purification is painful. So sometimes the Holy Spirit will make you get rid of some friends. So sometimes the Holy Spirit will disconnect with some loved ones that are not walking in the same direction. Sometimes it'll make you walk away from some employment that is not good for you. Sometimes it's painful, and it requires us to act in faith, to trust God over our circumstances. I know it's going to cost you some money. I know, you know, giving up some of that stuff that you've been doing. It's going to cost you something. That's the purification process of it. That's God burning away all those impurities that you have, that all of us have in our lives. I ain't just talking about you. I'm talking about me as well. I know the stuff God trying to get out of me. You know the stuff God trying to get out of you. You ought to know. But here is individualized. Every one of the believers that are in this upper room have a cloven tongue, a spirit of purification on our lives. God did not save us that we might remain the same. He saved us that we might be set apart for his use, for his glory. But then look at verse number 4. He said, and they were all, listen here, all of them, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What does that mean? To feel something is to feel it to capacity. Because there's no more room for anybody else. How do we get Spirit filled? You get Spirit filled, number one, by asking God to fill me with your Spirit. Every morning that you get up, you should be asking God. That's the first thing you ought to ask God for, is, Lord, fill me with your Spirit, that I might be able to do your will in this life for this day that you've given me. Every day you need to ask for new filling, infilling of the Holy Spirit. Because along life's journey, along the way, Satan is busy. I told you he's busy. And he keeps trying to poke a hole in the gas tank. Siphon out all the filling, the spirit that you have in you. You know what I'm talking about. When folks get you to that place, you want to. Y'all have been there before. I've been there before. You want to say some stuff to them. But if you're filled with the Spirit, if you let the Spirit control you, if you let the Spirit dominate your life, it'll give you the love, it'll give you the compassion, it'll give you the words to speak that will speak life into people and not necessarily death. The Spirit of God will give you everything you need. And at this particular time, the disciples needed what I call spiritual credibility. They're at Pentecost. The city is filled with visitors from all around. People of various different tongues are there. And when the Spirit comes and he fills them, the evidence of his filling at this particular time is that they spoke with other tongues. Now understand, this is not unknown tongues. This is other tongues. Here's what other tongues is, and that we see it later in the text. They spoke that everyone that was from a different region could understand what they were saying. What this did is that gave them credibility that this must be from God. That there's no other explanation for this. Because we find later chapter number 4, that the Bible said that these were unlearned men. But it goes on to say that they could tell that they had been with Jesus. Can folk tell that you've been with Jesus? Can they tell that you've been walking with the Lord? Can they tell that you've been filled with his Spirit? Listen here, you don't have to speak in other tongues in order for them to know that you've been filled with the Spirit. If you want to know if you're filled with the Spirit, look at Galatians 5, where it gives the fruit of the Spirit. Come on, God. Preach it. Are you living with love in your heart? Are you living with peace? Do you have long suffering? Are you patient with folk? You have self-discipline, self-control, temperance. Just go through them. Every believer should have every last one of them. Maybe some are not as strong as others. But when you identify that you don't have the strength, when you realize that you ain't patient with other folk, then you need to ask the Spirit to fill that area. God, I need that. I need that one right there. This is where I'm struggling at, God. If you're struggling with unforgiveness, you need to ask God, God, fill that area in my life. I have a difficult time forgiving other folk. Help me, God. Because that's what he's come to do. He's come to fill us. He's come to give us that boldness to be able to stand in this last and wicked generation, that we might be testament to the goodness, to the power of the Holy Spirit. But if you keep sitting on it, if you won't allow him to do it, he's not going to make you. I often said that the Holy Spirit is the perfect gentleman. That's what he is. He makes recommendations. He moves you. He encourages you. But he will not make you. That's voluntary. That's what you must do. You must surrender your life to him. That's where it all begins. Let me look at this. So if we're going to live a life that is directed by the Holy Spirit, the first step is to surrender to the Spirit's leading for your life. Romans 8 and 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. We are to be led by the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God will what? Lead us into paths of righteousness. Look at 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16. It says, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is really written, be holy, for I am holy. So the Holy Spirit leads us down the path of righteousness and holiness. The evidence of the Holy Spirit living in us, we find Galatians, the fifth chapter, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, amen, somebody, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You want to know if you have the Spirit of God? This is it right here. I'm telling you how you can have the Spirit of God living in. First and foremost, you got to be saved. And then also, the Holy Spirit comes to transform lives. 2 Corinthians 3:17, 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So he comes to transform our lives. A spirit-filled church can only be represented by spirit-filled believers. There was an awesome price that was paid for us to receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. Jesus fulfilled his portion of it when he came down through 42 generations. He fulfilled his portion. His portion was to redeem the world, to reconcile the world unto God. And so he came down, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. He waxed well with God and with man. At the age of 12, he was teaching the scholars in the temple. At 30, he began his ministry work. It's important that we understand the ministry work of Jesus, because he showed us how we are to live the lives. Even though we have been powerless to live the lives until the Holy Spirit comes, but he gave us the perfect demonstration on how to live a kingdom citizen life. Because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But even with him doing the miracles that he did, even with him feeding 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 barley loaves of bread, even with him healing the sick and raising the dead, they still found cause to arrest Jesus, because they were jealous, because they were envious of his popularity. Jesus never came seeking popularity. All he was who he was, and as God in the flesh. He came with a purpose, and he came on purpose. He came to give his life a ransom for you and for me. He came to die. He was born to die for our sins, and that's what he did. Jesus did not neglect his responsibility, and that was to be the Redeemer of the world. Yes, he hung upon the cross over 2,000 years ago. Yes, they nailed him in his hands and in his feet. Yes, they pierced him in his side and put a crown of thorns on his head. Yes, he still prayed for them. Even though they had crucified him, he was still yet praying for them. That's what the Spirit does. He said, Father, into thine hands I commend my spirit. And the Bible said that he gave up the ghost and he died that day. Gave up the ghost and died for your sin, for my sin. Not because of anything he did, but for everything that we did. He stayed dead for 3 days. But the record declares that early on the third day, he rose with all power of heaven and earth in his hand. He rose from the dead. We have been justified by what he did upon the cross. I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost because of what he did at Calvary and his subsequent resurrection. But Jesus is still on his job. He's still making intercession for me. He's still praying for me. He's still telling the Father that I died for that sin that he committed. He's still doing that. Jesus is still pleading our case. And he's coming back again. Will you be ready? I know certainly I'm going to be ready, but will you be ready? Because he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle, and he's going to set up his kingdom here for 1,000 years. 1,000 years we will reign with him. Will you be ready? I know I will. Please stand to your feet. The door to the church is open. There may be one. If you really want the power that has been promised to us, if you want that power, to be able to live a life that is pleasing to God. It's a life of faith. It's a life of trust. Not trusting in your own abilities. Not trusting in your ability to do good works. That's not what this is all about. As a matter of fact, that's what Jesus came to destroy. Was that work-based system. It is by faith that we believe it. It's by faith that we receive it. Is there one? Is there one? Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Somebody this morning that in your own private time you go before the Lord. Listen here, whether you've been saved or not, if you have not been saved, why don't you go to the Lord and say, God, open up my understanding of what I heard today. You understand that there's sometimes that we don't get it when we hear it initially. But that's how the Holy Spirit works sometimes. There's times you don't get it right when you hear it. But there are times like that mighty rushing wind that God will come and blow on it. And all of a sudden it will open up and you'll begin to see it. Understand that I'm praying for you as well. Church, I'm gonna ask you to please pray. It's time for us to start praying for those who are spiritually sick. We need to add that to our daily prayer life. Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Because Satan is on his job. Yes. He is certainly busy. Yes, he is. Need to be praying for them. But we also need to be witnessing as well, living a life that is pleasing unto God. If you're born again, ask God for that fresh infilling of his Holy Ghost. He wants to fill you. He wants to give you the power. Yes, sir. It's a shame that we as believers struggle with things we ought not be struggling with. We battling stuff we ought not be battling with. We have the indwelling power that's inside of us, that dunamis power that's living on the inside of us. Been reluctant to yield ourselves to him. Will you do that? Yes. Amen. 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 All right, if our hearts are satisfied and we know that Jesus Christ is Lord, please stand to your feet. Those who desire prayer, come down to the throne of grace. Those who believe in the power of prayer, come down to the throne of grace. Those who need something from God this week, come down to the throne of grace. Not my will, but thine will be done. Glory to your name, God. Glory to your name. Do me a favor, if you would. If you guys would open up, I want Mother to come down. Come, bring Mother on down. Come on down, Mother. Come on down. Come on, come on, come on. It's good to see you. We're trusting God for you. We are believing God for you. We're praying for you.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Because we serve a God that's able. No matter what you go through, no matter the sacrifices you have to make, God is able. Come on, church, let's pray. Dear eternal God, our Father, we come to you this. We thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, for this day, God.
Yes, thank you, Father.
We're praying right now in the name of Jesus, God. That, Lord, you would just move, Heavenly Father, Lord, as your spirit moves in us, God. We're praying right now, God, that we will be obedient. We'll be obedient children, God. We expect obedience from our children. But then we turn around and be disobedient to you, God. So, God, I'm praying that you'll help us, God, to be obedient children, God, to be doers of your word, God, to understand the value of serving you, God, of looking to you, Father, for our every need, God. We come on behalf of this, our dear mother, God. Pray, God, that you will touch her, Father, that, Lord, you'll meet her at her need, God. That, God, you'll heal her, God. And, God, not only that you'll heal her, but that you'll strengthen her, God. Strengthen her legs, her joints, Heavenly Father, Lord. Strengthen her arms, God. Because I know, God, she'll lift up holy hands unto you, God, and praise you, Lord. Bless her right now, Father. Thank you so much, Father, for all that you do. Thank you, God, for the word that was preached today. God, we receive your word, God. And God, we surrender to you. We want you to be the Lord of our lives. We want you to direct our paths, God, through the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. God, let us walk up right before you, God. Let us be pleasing in your sight, God. Let us understand, Heavenly Father, Lord, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, God. Continue to fill us. Continue to touch us, God, with your spirit, God. Because, God, we realize that as you fill us, that you'll fill this church, God. And, God, we can destroy the kingdoms of darkness just by being a spirit-filled church, God. We can change the course of the city of Detroit just by being a spirit-filled church, God. God, help us, Father. Because we cannot do it on our own, Father. Fill us with your spirit, God. Bless us, God, as we depart from here, God. That we'll be led by your spirit.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Just like Jesus was led by the spirit into the wilderness. Let us be led by the spirit in this wilderness that we have, God. Because we know the tempter is there. But you said you'll never leave us nor forsake us. That you would always be with us, even into the ends of the world, God. So, God, we believe that by faith. Go with us, stand beside us. Give us traveling mercy, God. And, God, if it be thy holy will, God, that we would meet again here, Father God, on Wednesday for Bible study, prayer meeting, God. Next Sunday, for worship service, God. We give your name praise. We give your name honor. It is the mighty and the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and thank God. Now may the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit, may it rest, rule, and abide with us now, hence, and forevermore. Let every heart sing.